Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We are in the middle of a presentation that we want to promote, and we want to help educate people concerning Islam, concerning the way in which we all are being deceived by a lot of things out in the media. And I want to let you know that our plan is to do this Blog Talk Radio program with material and information that we are sharing related to our presentation with Usama Dakdok. So if you're new to Blog Talk Radio and Global Patriot Radio, you may not know anything about Usama Dakdok or who is revealing the truth about Islam. I've got someone on hold right now, and I want to let them know that they can listen online to the phone call. So let me check our caller and see what it is that they have to say right now. Maybe they'd like to come on the air. I'm not sure. Caller, can you hear me? Can you hear me right now, caller? This is Christy. If you'd like to come on, you let me know. If you just want to listen, that's all right too. Okay. Well, we have a caller on, and I'm looking to have our co-host join us in just a minute, hopefully. She was with me a little bit earlier, but now I'm waiting to see if she's going to join us. We are working on this process with a bit of challenge because we're using a couple of different platforms and we're trying to coordinate them together. So let's see. I'm trying to use the Skype in. Let's see if we can get Roxanne on here with me. Nope, I'm not getting her. So we're going to move on and start discussing our plan to discuss lies in the textbooks. Lies in the Textbooks is a series that addresses the issues of what is happening in the world of education. What's going on in the colleges? Well, 20 years ago, and I mean starting in about 2003, we started to see our textbooks changing. You and I didn't see it, but the kids in schools saw it. And what occurred at that time is a promotion of Islam. I don't know how else to put it, where they began gradually changing information in the textbooks. And it's pretty confusing when you think about it, that why in the world would suddenly the textbooks be telling students that there was a question of the validity of the Bible, and that Islam was, and from the point of view of the book, preferable to Christianity, that the Quran was preferable to the Bible. Let me check with my caller again. Hello, who have I got on the line?
Hey, it's Roxanne. How are you?
Hey, Roxanne, you decided to call in. I lost you on our other connection.
Yes, I don't know what happened, but we're going to do it right here on the radio.
All right. Can you hear okay online here? You're able to hear. Well, I want you to speak up just a bit because I'm not hearing you as loudly as I wish.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me all right now?
I hear you better now, yes. Anyway, Roxanne, I was just telling them that lies in the textbook, something that started appearing related to Christianity and Islam, changes in the textbook started appearing about 2002 and 2003. That seems so strange to me because we just had an attack on the United States of America in 2001. We talk about it 9/11, September 11th, the year 2001. And my question to American people is, would you have expected the textbooks to start letting you know how loving and peaceful Islam is after 9/11? I mean, Roxanne, I would ask the general public, but unfortunately, I don't have a lot of general public access, except maybe on this station. But the question I would have is, Roxanne, would that surprise you if you knew that it started in 2003?
We know. It doesn't surprise me at all, because there was such a huge push to not have people look badly on your everyday Muslim, your next door neighbor who's Muslim, to not look bad on Islam, to put it as it's just the extremist. That's not your everyday Islam. And so I can see where they would have started slowly but surely integrating that.
You know, that might have actually even been before that, but the fact is it wasn't flagrantly obvious until about 2002 and 2003. And the reason we know that is because around 2009, people started to investigate this issue of certain things that were in the textbooks children were getting in the middle school and in high school that were causing questions to be raised about, number one, the validity of the Bible. And you think to yourself, well, what were they saying about the Bible in 2002, 2003? Well, for one thing, they were casting doubt on it just very subtly, like, well, people claim that the Bible says, or it's claimed by the Bible. It was these subtle words of being claimed that started to put the doubt into people's minds, or not into people's minds necessarily, but definitely in the minds of students. So when that began to be looked at, the second thing that they saw was that Islam was being promoted as superior in some way, because claims that, well, the Quran was written more recently, and that it was given to correct mistakes in the Bible. So the textbooks were promoting the idea that the Quran was more reliable than the Bible. And you go, how on earth did that happen? And well, it happens in first, it started in the social studies and history books. That's where it started. And then the lies that were appearing began to become bigger and bigger and bigger as the years went on. Ultimately, that process that we saw begin, I believe, Roxanne, without any question, that what's going on in the colleges and universities is because of that subtle process of demeaning Christianity and elevating Islam, starting in middle and high school, even in the grade schools, are now of college age. And they've been taught incorrectly the superiority of Islam over Christianity, over Judaism, and over the Bible, the Quran over the Bible. So I want to tell you that it was shocking to see, and I actually have someone who sent us pictures of textbooks and the pages and what were on the pages. And probably next week, rather than this week, I'm going to put pictures of pages up as the slideshow for our program. So if y'all are listening by phone, or if you listen to this program later, please make sure that you realize you want to see the slideshow, and you can watch that on the internet. You can even watch it on your phone. But next week, I will have the pictures from some of these textbooks that we examine. Roxanne,
and I want to say, Christy, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say, although I'm not surprised that they were trying to put a more favorable light on Islam after 9/11, I do also want to say it surprises me. Well, it doesn't surprise me that they were trying to diminish Christianity in light of the human secularism that's going on. You know, we're getting away from religion and move into just secularism, to worship of the earth, nature, environment, whatnot. So it doesn't surprise me that they were trying to diminish Christianity, but it does surprise me that they were elevating Islam.
Well,
in light of all that, so.
Yeah, I think the thing is that when you say diminish religion, I want to correct that to say it was about diminishing Christianity and the Jewish faith and the Bible, but actually promoting all kinds of other religious views, religious beliefs, like you said, the worship of nature. Oh, that's fine. Is anybody in the Christian world stop you from worshiping a tree if you want to? No, Christians are not going to do that. They're going to tell you that that's not what they believe is valid. However, they're not going to come down on you in the school if you say, yeah, we want to have a little ceremony to recognize our friends who believe in Buddhism, if they want to recognize some other culture. All of that is widely promoted as being, oh, yeah, that's inclusion, equity,
Diversity, yeah.
Inclusion, and equity. Like they want it to all be good, but you got to get rid of Christianity. You got to get rid of the Bible. You got to get rid of Jesus Christ and his being the savior of the world. You have to get rid of the Bible as being the word of God. So I'm not sure why or how the people who are supposed to be making decisions about how our children are educated, I do not know why they agreed to these things, but I think your theory is right. Anything's better than these fanatic Christians or these people who believe Israel is given to the Jewish people by God. Anything's better than that. What do you think about that, Roxanne?
No, I think that's exactly true. In the process of diminishing Christianity, they began to uplift that because of what was happening with 9/11. But like you said, with that came all the others. Everything is permissible except Christianity.
Yeah, I think you and I had a conversation earlier today, and I wanted to remind people the changes that took place in our education system, as radical as they are, and we're going to share part of the presentations that Usama put together, and I helped him with that, studying these lies in the textbooks, getting this information, trying to put it before school boards and parents, and more particularly, we were trying to put it in front of churches. To say, you've got to do something. You have to stand up and respond to these lies in the textbooks. And sadly, we didn't see many people get involved or take a position when we were talking about the lies in the textbooks, promoting Islam, promoting the Quran, and diminishing Christianity, the Jewish faith, Israel, diminishing Israel, and diminishing Christianity. So when we were frustrated about this and tried, I mean, we actually had a full presentation put together about 2012, 2013, and we were invited to go and create an entire video series on this topic. We went to Canada in order to film this. And after, I think it was 5 days, 7 days, something like that. I can't remember how many days we were actually there, but we videotaped this whole presentation. And I was just thrilled. Yusama was thrilled also. We were going to be able to have this video material on DVD to share with others, and also to be able to put it on YouTube or whatever at the time, social media, to let people know what's in the textbooks. What are we seeing? What are our kids being taught? We actually did all the filming and then could not get that out on the air. I honestly look at Canada right now with the Muslims that are in Canada, which is a growing population in Canada, and I realized they shut it down because we were saying things about what Islam is, what Islam teaches, and we were showing the textbooks promoting this, even though Islam teaches the killing of Christians and Jews or anyone who is an infidel. And they did not like that. So the program never came to light, but the presentation, Yusama did. We also have it on our Blog Talk Radio program, Revealing the Truth About Islam. And we're going to play some segments of that. That'll be one of the things we're doing. So I want to let people know this, Roxanne, that we're here to let people know this is an effort that was started 10 years ago to try and wake people up about what was happening. And sadly, very, very sadly, we were not able to even get this material out adequately enough to get the general public informed. And we weren't able to get enough of a response from the churches to get even the Christian community informed. It's tragic. Because
it's a sad thing.
College.
Yes, and we see the fruit of all that now.
Yeah, I mean, do you think, like I do, it's directly connected?
Absolutely, it's directly connected. They've been taught lies, not only about the true nature of Islam, the true teachings of the Quran, but also lies about the land that they call Palestine, Israel, and what the Quran calls the Holy Land, what the Bible calls the Promised Land. Everything that they've learned has been a lie. There, you know, for the simple fact that there is, nor have there ever been, a Palestine. You cannot find that on a map, on any map, ever.
Yeah, you
that
know,
was a name given by the Romans.
Yeah, the fact is that this whole system of going into the school to make people believe that the Jewish people and the Zionists, as they call them, are the aggressors. That they stole
right.
this land, Israel, from the Palestinians. This, I'm sorry, if you believe the Bible and you know what the Bible says, it's absolutely, completely ridiculous. And that's
and not only what the Bible says, but what the Quran says itself.
Yeah, the Quran, I have to say, is full of errors and contradictions, but it clearly says that the land was given to the Jewish people, which is in agreement with the Bible. But then later, we know that Islam teaches that all the Jews need to be killed in order for the judgment of God to come to bring peace to the world. So anyway, I wanted to just mention, if you are not aware of the resources and the ministry of the Straight Way of Grace Ministry, please check it out at thestraightway.org, because that's where you can find video material, books, and CDs that will help educate you to counter the lies that we are seeing being taught in our colleges, our universities, all the way down to grade school. And this is something that Muslims are very good at. They start in Muslim countries sharing cartoons with children, teaching them that it is an important thing for them to do, to plan, to become a martyr, to die for Islam. If they can kill Jews and Christians in the process, and most specifically in the Palestinian school system, they teach in Gaza that these kids are to go and be martyred and fight for the freedom of Palestine, that they need to eliminate Israel and they need to kill all the Jews. This is taught in cartoons. I've seen them. And they're still doing it. And now they have even interjected that into the United States of America. How is it that all this happened? Where were the Christian parents? Where were the Christian teachers? I will tell you, some teachers now have spent 20 years, the last 20 years, being brainwashed, same way the kids have. Your teachers that are graduating from school and getting taking teaching jobs, they have learned this as well. So I want to kind of backtrack. I want to tell you that Usama Dakdok and the Straight Way of Grace Ministry, Revealing the Truth About Islam. I call this program More Truth About Islam because we're covering the connections of our current United States crises, the European crises and all the problems they're having with Islam and all the problems they're having on the college campuses, which this is going on not just in the United States. But I want people to see this connection. And Usama Dakdok has been talking about this for over almost 30 years in the ministry, actively over 20. So keeping that in mind, this is a great resource. We're going to play some of the material on that program originally that he put together, and of course I helped with that, called Lies in the Textbooks. We're going to play a segment of that, and it will sound like it's a different program because it is. It's the VCY broadcast that's on every day on a VCY, which is VCY America. It's a Christian radio network across the country, and Usama has a program on there Monday through Friday at 12:30 Central Time, and I hope that you'll tune into that. VCY America is available on many FM radio stations, Christian stations, but it's also available if you want to get the app. You can get it on Roku, you can get it on your phone. So I want to promote the idea that if you have questions about Islam, this is where you can get your questions answered and also learn a lot about how to counteract what is being said and taught, maybe to your own kids, maybe to your own grandkids right now. So how did all that happen, Roxanne? How it all happened started a long time ago. Do you remember a lady named Madeline Murray O'Hare?
Yes, I do.
Who is she?
She is the lady. Well, she is the lady who got the Bible taken out of schools, who got any mention of God truthfully taken out of schools.
We can credit her with that, but really what she was opposed to was prayer in the school. And that was the start point. If you can't pray, well, guess what? What happens when you take God out, when you're not able to pray?
Well, Satan's going to fill that hole.
Everything else comes in. And so ultimately, yes, schools began to be told they couldn't have a Bible in school. You could not have a discussion about faith. Teachers could not pray with students. This is when they really started coming down. It's like many of our athletic programs, the teams would pray before they went to a competition or when they went into a game. They started being complaints about that. It is slowly eating away at our First Amendment. Because
and it's gotten to the point that even a student on their own, a moment of silence pretty much is out of the question because you may be praying.
Well, now let's get this corrected. That's if you're a Christian.
Yes.
Or if you're
Jewish. Yes.
Okay. Now, if you're Muslim and you believe in Islam, it's a different story. They are
You're allowed to have your five prayers a day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're accommodating Muslim students to the point that they are given time to wash because they're supposed to wash before prayers. They actually are bringing in these bathing facilities, which are specially designed for Muslim students so they can go in and bathe before they have prayers. Also in airports, this is really bad in Minnesota.
Yeah.
is really, really bad. And now, you know, they've adopted a new flag, which has an 8-pointed star. They claim it's, the claims on one hand are, oh, no, we didn't do this because of the Muslims that are in our state. No, they claim that, it's just, we just wanted a different flag. You know, this makes no sense. But we're seeing this happen not only in Minnesota, but in other areas where the accommodations are being made because the Muslim population is given deference. They are preferred. If you're just an ordinary Christian American, you need to shut up and be quiet. We need to recognize there are other people who have an opinion, and we don't want to hear what your thoughts. That's kind of how it's gone. Since this whole thing with Madeline Murray O'Hare started years ago, but the Bible warns us to teach our children, to teach them the truth, to teach them the word of God. The Jewish people were told they should write his laws on their doorposts. This is like, don't ever forget God. Please remember the biblical God. And what happens is when we don't do that, then something else steps in. Usama likes to say it like this. When you turn the lights out, that's when the roaches come out. And when you shut off the light of the truth and the light of the Lord and his word out of the school, you shut off prayer out of the schools, what comes in? Something
else.
Something else. And we're seeing, and we've seen it. We harvest a lot of grief in our school system. School shootings used to be completely, completely unheard of. And unfortunate, when my oldest kids were in school, and because of where we lived, you would never imagine that something like that could happen. In fact, Roxanne, I don't know if that was true in Mississippi, but I imagine it was. At one time, the kids rode to school and had their rifles in the back window of their pickup trucks. This
yes,
was
solid. Absolutely.
And no one was
That's
afraid.
Before
that
they had the.
What's that to say again?
I was going to say that's before they had the no gun zones.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't like you thought because somebody had a gun, they were going to come in and shoot up the school. People had guns because they went hunting. They had opportunities to go out and practice shooting. There was no idea that having a gun on the school campus meant someone's life was in danger. So that's all since we took these prayers out of school. And it started with one woman. You sit here and go, how on earth did one woman override all the rest of the Christian parents? How did that happen? And I have to tell you, it's apathy or accommodation. Well, we don't want everybody to think they have to believe what we believe. So we're going to let them take away prayer because were Christians thinking prayer was not important? This is the part I don't understand. Did Christian parents think that prayer was so unimportant that they were allowing it to go bye-bye without a huge constitutional battle? That's the part I don't understand. Because it makes me feel, and I'd like your opinion on this, that supposedly church-going people at the time were doing something the Bible warns against. Have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Yes, but I think it all goes to Christians. Christians see themselves as very loving and compassionate and kind-hearted, and we don't want to hurt people's feelings. And for so long, the church has, and more, the church is preaching the love of Christ, the love of God, but not the wrath. And I don't mean to say that as fire and brimstone, but there are consequences to not abiding by the word of God. And so many people today, they discount that part. They discount that part. They don't want to hurt people's feelings. They want to be loving and caring, just like Jesus was. But they forget he went in and turned over the money changing tables. He told them, this is the house of God. This is not for a den of thieves. And they sugarcoat all that. And
well, yeah, Jesus also said, you're whited sepulchres. You look on the outside, but inside is dead men's bones. He called them snakes and scorpions. You know, Jesus did immense words about people, especially in the religious community, who were not sincere in their heart to want to please God. That's why I'm saying, what was the crack in the armor that Christian parents with one atheist did not stand up? One
atheist. Because they were too afraid to stand up. They were too afraid to stand up. They weren't wearing the armor of God.
One atheist destroyed prayer in the school. And it's really tragic because in the end, that one atheist had a very sad end to her life. But interestingly enough, I believe her son has become an outspoken advocate for Christians. So let's hope and pray that that's true and that we see more people wake up, because the destruction that was done to our school system is continuing even now. Like you said, this is the fruit of what we have allowed to be sown in our public school system. And you and I both know personally that people in our own families who went to college have come out, gone in a believer and come out an atheist, come out so confused, come out completely not believing the Bible at all. And that's what we've
seen. Absolutely.
It's really,
yes,
really.
Yes, and I think a lot of that not only is what they're being taught, but also what they're being told, that their parents don't understand. Their parents are closed-minded. You know, they're not open to other opinions, other ideas. They're just stuck in their old world ways. So don't listen to what your parents say. We're telling you the truth.
Yeah,
we're telling you,
are,
the world
you
has changed, and you have to change with it.
Yeah, that is very true, Roxy. Very, very true. And also, it's one of the things that has allowed these students to believe that they must save the world. Oh, wait a minute. Not the world. Save the Palestinians. Save Hamas. Roxanne, you know enough about Islam to realize Hamas is a terror organization. The students who are protesting against Israel defending itself against these terrorists, I want to know, have they seen a video of what these survivors of October 7th went through? Have they even seen any information in the school? Did the school ever come out and say, you know, you students don't understand, you're supporting this horrific, horrendous mutilation of people, rape, torture, murder that was done to innocent people, including children, even babies, on October the 7th. Are these students actually standing up to defend these actions? I don't think so. I think they don't even know what happened.
They don't know because they're being told that these videos of these so-called hostages or the people who've succumbed to Hamas, that's all fabricated. All of that is fabricated.
Yeah.
That's not really true. Israel's the aggressor. And the attack on October 7th, that's just because of all of these decades of systemic abuse, occupation, apartheid. They have no clue. But you know what? I want to bring something up. It blows my mind because they have no clue about this. Israel is a tiny country surrounded by enemies. These seven Muslim countries, there is only one Jewish state. And when these students come out and start chanting from the river to the sea, they don't understand that that means wiping out the entire Jewish population. When they call for a globalized the intifada, they don't realize that they're calling for the violent insurrection against both Israel and its supporters. Supporters, the Jews, the Christians. They want this all around the world. They don't understand what they're actually calling for. They think they just want Palestine to be free, quote, Palestine, unquote. But what they're also not seeing is all of those surrounding Muslim countries, Egypt, Lebanon, Jordan, Syria, they're not taking in Palestinian refugees. They don't want anything to do with them. There are a million Palestinians right now at the Rafah crossing, which is at the border of Egypt. Is Egypt letting them in? I think not. No, who is letting them in? The United States.
You know, this is a really important point that you're bringing up, and Usama talks a lot about this, and I think he's done a really great job explaining this, that the countries where these individuals, you would think, would open their arms and welcome the refugees from Gaza. The refugees,
this is about Muslim people,
and
right?
The Palestinians. I'm sorry, I didn't even understand what you said. What?
No, I'm sorry. That's their Muslim people, correct? From
well,
the Gaza
yes,
Strip, from the West Bank.
They,
yes, we've got
yes,
to.
Yes, but they do not want them. They will not allow them in there. And Usama points out that Egypt will not allow them in there because they even know they're a terrorist group. And they don't want that.
Exactly.
So we have this brainwashed people who have brainwashed their children to turn them into terrorists and jihadists. And these other Muslim countries like Jordan and Egypt and Lebanon, they don't want them. They have enough problems of their own. So
yes,
when you look at who's helped the Palestinians, I want you to know it is Israel. Israel has treated them kindly. Israel has provided for them food and medicine and access to medical treatment. That is who has been kindest to the Palestinian people, is Israel.
The Palestinian people wouldn't be able to survive without Israel.
Yes.
Because
Hamas
takes all of their resources and uses it for Hamas, not for the common people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like when they have a notice from Israel, we're going to bomb this area, going to attack this location. They warn the citizens. They warn them of this coming attack because they do not want to kill civilians. But here's what the Hamas terrorists do. They hide and build their locations from which they will go and attack Israel. They build them in hospitals, in schools, and in neighborhoods where there are many civilians. That is what they do. So the Israel military, they have to eliminate these terrorists from out of these neighborhoods. And that's why they drop leaflets. They try to let people know, we are going to be attacking in this area. Please leave so there's no harm come to you or your family. We had recordings where we hear even them calling and talking on the phone, begging these people to evacuate the area where there's going to be combat. And
I have to ask
let me finish and then I'll hear your question, because I was talking, I didn't even hear what you said. They beg these people to leave and they refuse to leave. And because they're there, civilians get killed. And as Usama has pointed out, especially in his recent presentation, Israel or Palestine, this is why civilians in Gaza are killed. Why Palestinian civilians? Because Hamas wants their deaths in order to paint Israel as a vicious, savage people. They don't want the Jewish people to look like they're defending themselves. They want to make the media believe that they're actually targeting civilians and children. And that is not true. But we do know, and this has gone on for years, at least 20 years that I know of, they want civilian casualties. Go ahead, Roxanne.
Well, all I wanted to say is, what other country in the world in war notifies the enemy in advance? Hey, we're going to attack this area in 5 hours. You need to evacuate. It's ridiculous that Israel is set to such a standard that would never be set on any other. I don't see that being set on Russia in the Ukraine.
Well, how about the United States? Can you imagine if Canada were to launch a missile into the United States? Do we want these other countries from the UN to tell us not to do anything about it? Of course not. And yet we're asking Israel not to defend themselves. And I'm going to tell you why this disturbs me most specifically. You know, my ministry, End Times in America, I said two things were really critically important for the survival of America in the end times, because I do believe we're in the end times. And that is, number one, that we have to stay faithful to God, the God of the Bible. We have to stay faithful to Jesus Christ. We have to stay faithful to try to reach people, to share the gospel with them, okay? That's number one. Why did God raise us up as a nation? That's why. Now, number two, the second reason that we were raised up. Do you realize, because of the entrance of the United States of America into the war and World War II and successfully defeating the Nazis and Japan, that we were able to be a vehicle whereby Israel was preserved and the state of Israel was established in 1948. Yes. Now, I believe God called us to be Israel's defender, and that is a reason that we became the most powerful nation in the world after World War II. That's the reason God allowed us to become so powerful, so that we could defend Israel. And now, I said, America has long since abandoned its Christian values. We have missionaries coming from other countries to try to reach Americans for Christ. So yes, that's sad, because we abandon, in many cases, our true faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, a lot of people are going to church, and that's wonderful, but you're not going because Jesus is your Savior and Lord. Then going to church means nothing. Christianity isn't a habit. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is supposed to be. So if we've abandoned Jesus, and in many ways we have, we better not abandon Israel, because that is the other reason that God has preserved us. And now I see us turning our back on Israel, and it is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen our country do. And we've done some disgusting things in the past. Yes, we made mistakes. Some things we've done that were uncalled for, but But I am telling you, if we abandon Israel, which it looks like this old Biden administration is doing, God help us. Because that is one thing that God is not going to allow us to do. The retaliation against the world for what it's trying to do to Israel, God said he's going to preserve them. So you need to pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as the scriptures told us. And remember that God will bless those who bless Israel, and he will curse those who curse Israel. So God help us. Roxanne, am I an extremist?
Exactly. No, you are not. You are preaching the true gospel. You are letting it show that we have been in a decline ever since that prayer got stopped in schools, ever since we have negated our duty to God, and our decline is going to end, and we are going to be a nation gone under when we turn our backs on Israel. It is foretold in the scripture. That's how it is. And I hate that people are not seeing that, because, you know, I'm telling you, the church, like you said, many people go to church, but as we like to say, they don't have any oil in their lamps.
Yeah, Roxanne, you and I started a kind of a ministry Bible study called Five Are Wise. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? And just why we called it Five Are Wise. You don't have to give us details, because we're really not organized or anything. It's just something that we want to do some broadcast, possibly video material, and post that on Five Are Wise. So we hope there's a little bit of an understanding of what that means. But in case somebody doesn't understand what that means, tell us what Five Are Wise is.
Well, we were studying Matthew and the parable of the 10 virgins, and we really started to ponder, what was this parable really saying? What was it all about? You know, and it references the five wise virgins who had enough oil in their lamp and were able to go meet Christ, the bridegroom. But then there were five unwise virgins. When the bridegroom came, they weren't prepared. They had to go try to get more oil for their lamp. But when they came back, they were not admitted in. They waited too long. And, you know, I really believe it's talking to me, it's talking about the church and those who truly have the Holy Spirit with the Word of God, as opposed to those who they have the Word, but they don't practice it. They don't live it. It's just, like you said, something good that they do on Sundays, on Easter and Christmas. They like to say they're Christians, but they really have not received the Spirit.
You know, this is the words, I believe, if I'm not misquoting here, that Jesus said to the five who were denied admission into the wedding of the bridegroom, the ones who were denied admission, he said, depart from me. I never knew you.
Yes.
This is the thing that we hear this also with the sheep and the goats, but they're talking about, well, we did all this stuff to Jesus. It's about knowing Jesus. And I would just say to anybody today, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know that he's real, if you've just heard about him, or you went to church because you believe in him in the sense of, yeah, you know, I need to go and be a good person and I need to go and be a good Christian. So I'm going to church and I'm doing all the best I can. Your best is not good enough. It never will be good enough. If it was, Jesus wouldn't have had to come and die for us. He came to die for us because we're not good. So if you're depending on your goodness or your church attendance or you teaching Sunday school or, you know, I'll tell you one thing. I really appreciate the moms who go and take care of other people's children in the nurseries at the church, because that way the moms that are not in the nursery, they get to go and participate in the ministry. And, you know, I know a lot of single moms, and I know a lot of moms who have young children. And, man, that is such an awesome ministry to go and be the one to take care of the kids in the nursery. You might be doing that, and that might be something people really appreciate. But do you know Jesus? That's what matters. That's why
exactly.
We have the story of Mary and Martha, the same thing. You know, Martha was busy cleaning and doing all these things because she felt like that was really important. What did Jesus
Mary was
tell?
At the foot of Jesus listening.
That's right. She was listening to Jesus. She wanted to know Jesus. And that's why I'm saying there are many things in the Bible that tell us our relationship. A relationship with the Lord is what matters. And if you do all these good things, or you have all these great, things in your resume that you've done for the Lord, that isn't going to work. Because they said,
not one of those things are going to get you into heaven.
Yeah, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we, do all these things for you, Lord? And he said, it doesn't matter. I didn't know you. So make
right,
sure you know Jesus.
Amen.
You know, I want us to make a little change of pace here. I want us to talk about how and why the Muslims, those who believe in Islam, those who believe the Quran, why they have accomplished more in our schools. Because they got dedicated, and maybe the Christians did not. But I have a little piece of material I want to play by a woman who went to a conference which was covered by, back in the day, they had something called C-SPAN. This is before we had all these other stations and all, and CNN came out, and they had something called C-SPAN. And they broadcast this conference. And it was a conference of Muslims. And the woman who is speaking, I have a couple of little sound bites. I want to play some of them so you can understand why we have these lies in the textbooks. How did that happen? Who did it? Why was it done? And her name is Sharifa Akitab. I'm not sure how exactly to pronounce it because they don't say her name in the video, but I want you to hear her talking. 1989. In 1989, she put forward some things that she believed all Muslims should do. Now, it's amazing that this woman was able to get up and share at this conference, because women in Islam do not necessarily get that much of a platform, but she's living in the United States of America, and she's very bold and outspoken, and they let her speak at this conference. So I want you to hear what she has to say. So Roxanne, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, we're going to play this first one. I called it Sharifa Al-Kitab. I'm not sure how they pronounce it.
Al-Kitab.
Yeah, well, is that how they pronounced it, or is that just what
it
looks
like? Yeah, Sharifa Al-Kitab. That's
all
how
right.
they pronounced
well,
it.
Okay, because I didn't hear the announcement. I put this up here, maybe 10 years ago? I haven't heard it recently. But here we are. I call this little piece, it's a minute and 15 seconds, and it's called Goals. What are the goals? So let's see if we can play this and let the people hear about how these lies got into our textbooks as we listen.
I'm very happy that I was asked to speak today about education, because I believe that education is one of the most important areas that Muslims have to address. And while our objective, our final objective, is not just to become part of the system that we experience now and that we see, our objective, our final objective, is to create our own Islamic systems, and not only create Islamic systems for Muslims, but to look at all the other people who are sharing this country with us as potential Muslims. And if we look at them as potential Muslims and feel that we have the obligation, which Allah has told us, to try to bring them into the same style of thinking, into the same way of behaving, into the same objectives that we have, then we have to have some way that we can communicate with them and some way we can work with them. And in that long-range process of making America Muslim, all of America Muslim, then we have to have some actual short-range goals. We have to have some way of dealing with them and know how we're going to deal with them and in which ways and be very calculated about it, or else we will not accomplish our goals.
What do you think, Roxanne?
Isn't that amazing? They, yes, their goal is to make all America Muslim. And
yes.
I'm going to say, some people may say, well, isn't that what Christians want? We want everyone to come to Christ, but we don't make it a goal and a plan to make all America.
Well, I think
Christian.
The difference here is what she tapped into. She said, this is our goal, and education is a key part of it. And you're going to hear her talking a little bit more about getting into the school system. But this is her talking about the goal is to make all America Muslim. And so what she's saying is education is a key part of it. So you and I, when we have someone come into the school system as Christians, we do not, she said, we have to be very calculated. Did you hear that word?
Yes, precise and calculated, yes.
Yeah, we're going to do this. That almost is explaining the deceptiveness of how this was done. So let's listen to another part of it, because I want you to hear how proud she is to be an American, if you will. I'm saying that tongue in cheek. You can't see my face, but listen to this.
When we lived overseas in a Muslim country, I let them identify themselves as Muslims. And we lived there for 10 years. When we came back a year ago, my little daughter, who's in second grade, kept saying to her teacher, I'm not American, I'm Muslim. And after a while, I started getting notes coming home saying, what does she mean? You know? And I got the same sort of notes from the school where we were overseas in a Muslim country, so-called Muslim country. The principal said, what does she mean? And she was in a Muslim country. And they would say, well, you're American, right? She said, no, I'm Muslim. And the principal here said the same thing. That shows that we have similar kinds of problems in approaching the field of education, whether we're living in a so-called Muslim country or whether we're living here in the United States. 6 months later, my daughter came to me and said, is there another thing that we're called American? You know, she still isn't quite sure about it. Alhamdulillah, she's still identifying herself as a Muslim.
Okay, here's this mother, Sharifa. She is explaining to her daughter that, no, you're a Muslim, but listen to her following comments about what it means to be a Muslim American. Listen to this.
Is education political? Yes, it is. Education is extremely political because it shapes our minds. It shapes our idea of who we are and what we are. It shapes our ideas of what we can be. Yesterday when I was listening to one of the other speakers, I became amused because it reminded me of a situation with my own little daughter. It wasn't a speaker, actually. It was a person who stood up from the audience and said, we're not American, we're Muslim. Well, I've always brought my children up, alhamdulillah, to think of themselves first, last, and always as Muslim.
Yes. So we're not American, we're Muslim. And she said someone else in the audience had brought that up. Well, the gentleman that brought that up, if when you're watching the video, and this is from C-SPAN recorded, gentleman that stood up is still here in the United States and is an active leader in the Muslim community, an activist, so to speak. This woman, Sharifa, has passed away. She is not alive anymore, and but she has left quite a legacy. Let me play the next section of this 1 minute that I recorded, and this has to do with what she thinks that Muslims should do with the school. So here we go.
We have to start motivating ourselves and our children to be further involved, to talk about what kinds of involvements we can have. On the local level, we need to volunteer much more readily than we do now. The way to get recognition, the way to get acceptance, the way to be able to be in a position to express Muslim concepts is to volunteer. First thing is the PTA. Most Muslims are not involved in the PTA whatsoever, the Parent-Teacher Association. They don't even go to the meetings. They don't know what's going on with their kids in the public school. Second thing are the school board meetings. School board meetings are public. In a lot of cities, they have them on television, which is wonderful. You don't even have to go out of your house. Just turn it on and find out what they're doing with your kids in the public school. Comes on every month. If it doesn't come on, make an effort to go at least 3 or 4 times a year to the school board meeting and find out what they're talking about, what their ideas are. Okay, you can become an office assistant. You can become a reading assistant. You can become a library assistant and try to buy Islamic books or get them from organizations and give them to your local school library. You should try, and we should all be involved in developing Arabic language courses in the public schools, because one way of introducing non-Muslims to Islam is to have them come and be a part of Arabic courses, Arabic language courses. And don't forget, classical Arabic is the Quranic Arabic. So when we say Arabic courses, we're talking about classical Arabic, and our real agenda is Quranic Arabic. And that's a good way of introducing Islam to non-Muslims.
Okay. I find this so interesting because she is talking about, I mean, how many of us even know what the PTA is anymore? Because this was so long ago, they actually still had a PTA instead of a National Teachers Association. It used to be the Parent Teacher Association. But here she is saying, get in the school, bring books about Islam into the school libraries, teach Arabic. Our goal is to teach them the Quran. So we want to use the Quran to teach them Arabic. Did you catch all that, Roxy?
Yes, absolutely. It's about systemically getting into the system and changing the system to their agenda.
But what kills me is they did it. That's why we have what we have on our college campus right now. And why are the Christian parents so far behind? These people started this effort over 30 years ago. And little by little, we were busy letting Madeline Murray O'Hare take away prayer out of the school. People are busy trying to get Muhammad and Islam and the Quran into the school. They want to make all America Muslim. That is their goal.
Yes.
She sat there and said it. Nobody knew, I guess, at the time. What in earth does she mean?
What she means is
Go ahead.
Do you have another clip?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you have another clip?
Yes, I have two more.
Okay, because I've got some stuff I want to say about that speech, but I don't want to overstep if you've got the clip of her saying these things, because...
Yeah, I want to go ahead and play the last two clips. They're both very short. And then I'll let you talk about it, because I know you saw the whole thing. And, of course, I started out with the whole thing, but I made the clip short enough because when I do these programs with Usama Dakdok, he likes to make a comment after each portion, and I had to cut this thing into 5 different clips to allow us to hear it and stop and comment. Discuss it. So we're doing the same thing right now. Here is the comment concerning the Islamic State. So this is, we're talking Islamic State, 1989. This is not when we had ISIS, okay? The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. So just remember how long ago this comment came concerning Islamic State. Okay, we ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Here we go.
I wanted the Prophet ﷺ was our best example. He spent 13 years in Mecca preparing minds. He spent 13 years preparing personalities. He spent 13 years developing a concept, and then he took it to Medina, and he carried it on there, and it was public, and it was established. And once he carried it on, and once he established it, he didn't leave it there. He continued to build it even to a better extent. Now, what did the Prophet do, alayhi salam, when he was in Medina? He had to deal not only with Muslims, but with pagans and with Jews. And he did use deferential treatment. He did use different kinds of treatment between the three groups. But he drew their focus to the fact that there is something called an Islamic State, and you are going to be a part and parcel of that Islamic State.
Yes, Islamic State. What did Muhammad do? Well, guess what? She isn't telling you how he differentially dealt with them. He differentially dealt with them by slaughtering them if they wouldn't convert to Islam.
Yes.
You become Muslim.
You are going
you
to
die.
Be part and parcel.
You're going
to
be part of it. Yeah. I mean, you
and
can
she
even
ended
hear.
That. Go ahead.
No, you can hear the intimidation in that idea.
Yes, and she ended that with, are we there yet? No.
Yeah.
Not yet.
All right, folks. This is the last one, and here's where she talks specifically about textbooks. So this is like your real key here to what we're talking about when we say lies in the textbooks and how did they get there. Number one, we took the Lord out of school. We took the Bible out of school. We took prayer out of school. But here we go. How in the world did these dedicated Muslims get into our textbooks? Here we go.
We should try to be on the book review committees. There are book review committees for every type of subject, for the social studies books, for the literature books. Muslims need to join those book review committees and see what they're writing and have an input into how the curriculum will be. The book companies do listen to these book review committees, and they have to adjust, because if they don't, they won't be bought for that school system.
There you go. The textbook review committee. Folks,
she
1989.
Yes.
Go ahead, Roxy.
Now, I just wanted to say she, you know, went on in that to say that, you know, she wanted to, Muslims need to develop an Islamic school system spanning the country, and that it needs to be so good, so excellent, that non-Muslims will attend.
Yeah.
And that's their goal, and their ultimate agenda is basically, like she said, we're not Americans, we're Muslims. The Islamic agenda is we will not assimilate. She said Islamic ideals will revamp American thinking, turn them into Muslims. We don't need, you know, she said we don't need to conform to the American way of thinking. We need to conform their thinking to ours.
You're
and this
exactly
is exactly
right.
How they're doing it.
Yes, and the shocking thing is that when she said this in 1989, I wonder how many people, including myself, never saw this. And if we had seen it back then, what would we have thought or done about it? Because we didn't even know, I don't think the majority of us had a clue what Islam was. Which is probably why we ignored this whole thing. What do you think, Ron?
Yes. No, absolutely. And she even mentions in there about having interfaith with Christians and Jews, because she says that we believe in God. we believe in the last days, in the judgment day. We believe in the afterlife. So we have all this in common, and we need to get them to come to conclusions on the values that we share, them meaning the Christians and the Jews.
Yeah.
You know, but what's interesting is that we do not have the same belief. That is a blatant lie, and they know it.
Well, you know, I must say this woman is passed on whatever judgment that God made in dealing with her and her death. I will never know. We'll never know until we get there, if she's there. If she's there, it means she had a conversion to Christ, which, you know, is possible. But the sad thing here, to my way of thinking, Roxy, is that this woman spearheaded an entire change in the American education system to begin to push it towards the agenda of promoting the Islamic State, of promoting America as a Muslim country. I mean, you look at her and you go, wow, what an agent of change. We like to think agents of change are heroic people. Wow, they changed.
Are good, beneficial, yes.
We changed this whole system. But here's the problem. There are a lot of people who are agents of change that brought total destruction. We got to remember that. Hitler changed Germany for its destruction.
Forever, yes.
When we change away from the Bible and change away from Jesus Christ, we are bringing a change. And she helped to bring a change to our country. Where are the brave and knowledgeable Christians? I'm going to tell you, if you don't know what Islam is and you don't understand what I'm talking about, you need to check out the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. Usama Dakdok, just put his name into YouTube channel and search. He's spoken all over the country for many years. I've been working with him for almost 20 years, and that is something God put on my heart to do before I ever met him, actually. The Lord gave me that sense that Islam was a huge problem and was part of the sign of the end times. So I can tell you, I had that conviction the minute I met Usama, because I believed God had sent him as an answer to my prayer to understand why Islam was so much a part of what I believed was going to be the end times in America. And of course, I have come to understand that clearly, and also because of Usama Dakdok's study, have come to understand Islam, and even to have enough knowledge of Islam to realize that we need to pray for the Muslim people. We need to pray for them to come to Christ. And Usama had made a couple comments in the past that really made me think. He said, you know, Christy, if when Muslims first began to come to this country, and it was long before he came, when they first began to come here, had Christians reached out to them and enthusiastically shared the gospel with them, tried to minister to them, tried to teach them and help them understand that they're lost people and they need a savior, and that Jesus Christ is the only one who came to die for their sin, that they might be born again and welcomed into the real family of God. You know, if Christians had done that, if they had been enthusiastic and reached out to these immigrants from Iran or from the Middle East, and they had come to know Christ, do you realize that no other Muslims would have even come here? They would have been coming because they would have said, oh my gosh, send your child to America, and they become a Christian. They become an infidel.
Yes.
Don't go there. You know? And I thought about that. And I said, you know, he's exactly right. What happened is Americans greeted Muslim immigrants and refugees here with the idea that, oh, well, we're great Christians. We're just going to bring them here and let them think what they want. And we'll be fascinated by their culture and their customs and their food. And we'll just be wonderful friends with them, not even realizing that the Quran forbids Muslims from being friends with Christians and Jews. Quran 551 said, O you who believe, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends. They're friends to one another. And whoever so takes them as friends becomes one of them. God does not guide the unjust people. God isn't going to guide you if you become a friend of Christians and Jews. You'll lose your relationship with Allah. That is what they're taught. But yet we as Christians don't even have this sorrow in our heart to want to reach Muslims for Christ. They're lost.
Right.
Is it because we don't believe in Jesus? Is it because here in America we don't really believe Jesus is any different than Allah in the Quran or Muhammad? Do we not know that there is one true and living God and one Savior of mankind, and that is Jesus Christ? Do we not believe that? Do we not believe there is one true and living God, the God of the Bible? Do we think the God of the Bible is the same as the God of the Quran? If you do, you need to pray for God to open your eyes, because these Muslims are so enthusiastic about making America a Muslim country. And we were not enthusiastic about reaching lost souls, those who are Muslim. We weren't enthusiastic about reaching them for Christ. This is an indictment against us as a people. It's an indictment against us as those who say we believe in Jesus. What, we think that everybody else, oh, believe whatever you want. Go on to hell. I don't care. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not saying this as a condemnation on other people. I'm even looking at myself. I met a couple of Muslim people, and you know, I didn't even know first thing about Islam, and I really did not have the courage or feel like I was smart enough to try and understand what they believed or why we were different. I wish I had, but now I have that knowledge, and now because of the Straight Way of Grace ministry and Usama Daktouk, who's also reached other Muslims and that have come to know Christ. There are other Muslims who have come to know Christ who have wanted so desperately to share the gospel with other Muslims. So there is that ministry going out there. But I really, truly am sorrowful that as a Christian, I wasn't doing this and knowing this sooner in my life.
Right.
I don't want to be late to the party. I want to say what I want to share the gospel with anyone and everyone I can that is a lost soul. And Muslims most specifically really need Jesus Christ. They need a savior. Being a Muslim, I'm sorry this woman sounds like she's just so pleased and happy to be a Muslim, but I'm going to tell you what, being a Muslim is a misery. It is a misery for women, most specifically. It is a misery for children. Children who can be married to adult Muslim men at the age of 9.
Mm-hmm.
Women who have to undergo female genital mutilation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are horrible things for women, but it isn't good for men either. I'm sorry.
No.
It is a wretched life. And Muslims kill other Muslims more than they kill Jews and Christians.
I think that's an important thing. I was going to say, I think that's an important thing to point out because, you know, you have Hamas in Palestine. But guess what? You also have Hezbollah in Lebanon. You have the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. you know, we deal with all these other groups, ISIS, you have Al-Qaeda,
Boko Haram, you have in all the world there's 57 Muslim countries, and I promise you there's even more terrorist groups.
Yes, and they all fight each other.
Fighting to be the ones to receive the blessing and not have to be in hell. That's another story that I'll let Usama share more about, because he'll have the references, and I just know about it. I can't reference it like he does. But I want us to just play a piece of the Lies in the Textbooks presentation that Usama and I helped him put together. This is the program that airs on VCY America, and this is the first segment that I'm going to play for you. Be aware that there'll be a little commercial in there, which I don't mind, because I love promoting the ministry of Usama Back Talk and the Straight Way of Grace ministry. The program is called Revealing the Truth About Islam, and this one is Lies in the Textbooks. Are you ready? And we'll talk about it when we're done. But we know why the lies got in there, don't we?
Exactly. Play on, right, Christy.
Here we go.
Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we begin our new study of the topic, Lies in the Textbook. A few months ago, I was doing my live Saturday radio program, and I was shocked to meet with this caller who was a college student. And we were talking at this night about the Crusades, and he was literally so excited with the knowledge he had received from his professor to teach us some truths about how terrible was the Crusades and how these Christians invaded the Muslim land and how they killed innocent women and innocent children, forcing these Muslim people to leave their homeland as they barbarically killed hundreds of thousands of Muslims. I was shocked first. Where in the world did this young man come up with this knowledge? But as I continued to interview him in my radio program, I discovered that that is what he was taught in college, as his professor taught him the history of the Crusades. And it did not hit me to understand the effect of our education by our teachers on our children until later when I was in Florida. For I was asked to go and speak to the school board in Tampa area as an expert on Islam. And there we met with this non-profit organization, which is known by the name Citizen for National Security. I was shocked to know the amount of lies which are taught in our textbooks to our children in the state of Florida. As a matter of fact, it did not just stop in Florida. It is all over the 50 states of the United States of America. And I was shocked to know that these books were controlled by the Muslims. As Muslims infiltrate the mind and the heart of our children, starting with kindergarten all the way to the 12th grade. And now all connect together in my head. This young man whom I have in my radio program on Saturday Night Live was a product of years of brainwashing, of years of infiltration by Muslims through the public school system of the United States of America. They begin when they are little children to be taught lies about Islam, history, geography, and science. We're no longer in the United States of America teaching the truth to our children in school, but we teach propaganda and baloney spread by Muslims and atheists in the textbooks. And I wonder, Why our teachers surrender to such propaganda? Why are we allowing our children to be infiltrated with all these lies from the little age of kindergarten all the way to the high school, even in college? And I wonder, what will be the future generation of America? Maybe the next senators and the next congressman and congresswoman who will come out of the college will be standing for the Muslim, speaking for Muslim and Islam against Israel and against America. Because we only harvest what we plant. And we have been planting lies and deception and propaganda in the heart and in the mind of our own children in our public schools all over this country. That's why I decided to research this topic, lies in the textbooks, and bring it to you that you may know what your children and what your grandchildren are learning right now in our public schools, and the infiltration of Muslims to our children. They are so smart. They know what they're doing. That is their goal. That is their dream, to change America from within, to literally brainwash our children to believe in lies concerning Islam, concerning Israel, and concerning Christianity. And that is what we will be studying here in the following broadcasts. We will look first to the situation in Israel, as I believe this is the most important topic, not only for the Middle East, but for us here in America. And because of the sensitivity of it, and because sadly I say most Americans have no clue what I am about to present, Israel and Palestine. We're going to be talking about history. We're going to be talking about geography. We will be talking about the teaching of the Quran. And we will be talking about the teaching of the Bible concerning Israel and the Promised Land, which is known in the Quran, the Holy Land of Israel. It's amazing. A couple of years ago, I was in the state of Washington. At the church where I was speaking, I met with a lady who is an ex-mother-in-law to a Muslim man who was from Palestine. This woman asked me if I would meet with him to share with him about Islam and about Christian faith. And the following day, I went to his work. In my way to meet with this gentleman, the other brother from the church who took me to his business, he warned me that this man hates Israel, for he is a Palestinian. We met at the business and we talked for a few minutes, and there we set a time to meet again at a coffee place. Where, when I met with him at the coffee place, I asked him, "Are you a Muslim?" He said, "Yes." "Do you believe in the Quran?" He said, "Yes." "Do you believe that the Quran is the true word of Allah?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Why do you hate Israel?" He said, "Because Israel occupied my homeland. Israel are killing my own people. Israel is a terrorist country." There I opened the Quran and I read to my Palestinian friend the verse which comes from Quran chapter 45 and verse 16. When Allah said, "And indeed, we gave the book and the wisdom and the prophethood to the children of Israel, and we provided them with the good things, and we favored them above the world." Did you hear what Allah said in the Quran? Allah said He favored the Jews. He favored the children of Israel above the world. They are God's chosen people. They are God's favorite people. And I asked my Palestinian friend, "When did Israel occupy your land and your people land?" And he said, "Well, since 1948. Then I asked my Palestinian friends the question, "When did the children of Israel enter this land, which is known in the Quran, the Holy Land, and in the Bible, the Promised Land?" He did not have an answer. I told him, "Did you know that Allah in the Quran gave this land to Moses and his people?" He said, "Yes." And he then started to stutter, not knowing what to say next. And then I told him, "This land belonged to the children of Israel. As Allah, your God, in the Quran, gave them this land, not 1,000 years ago, not 2,000 years ago, not even 3,000 years ago, but almost 4,000 years ago. As a matter of fact, this is the only country which has two deeds from two great books. The book of the Quran, which considered by you Muslim the most holy book, and the book of the Bible, which Jews and Christians believe to be the only holy book. There are two deeds to assure the world that this land, the land of Israel, belongs to the Jews. And there I opened the Quran and I read for my friend the teaching of Allah in the Quran concerning the promised land. There we read Quran chapter 5, beginning from verse 20, when Allah said, "And when Moses said to his people, 'O my people, remember the grace of Allah on you, when he made prophets among you, and he made you kings, and he gave you what he did not give anyone of the world. O my people,'" verse 21, "enter the holy land which Allah has prescribed for you, and do not turn away on your back, so you will be turned back losers." Verse 22, "They said, 'O Moses, surely in it are powerful people, and surely we will not enter it until they come out of it. So if they come out of it, so surely we will enter it.'" In verse 23, "Two men among the fearers Allah graced on them said, 'Enter on them the door. So when you enter, so surely you will be the victorious. And on Allah, so depend if you were believers.'" Verse 24, "They said, 'O Moses, surely we will never enter it as long as they are in it. So go, you and your Lord, so engage in war. Surely we are sitting down right here.'" Verse 25, "He said, 'My Lord, surely I do not own anything except myself and my brother. So separate between us and the transgressing people.'" Verse 26, "He said, 'So surely it is forbidden for them 40 years. They will be lost on the earth. So do not grieve on the transgressing people.'"
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the Darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
There are so many errors in these verses. Quran chapter 5, verses 20 to 26. It will take a whole hour program just to cover all the error in these six verses. But the simple message we learn from these verses, that this holy land, as Allah stated in verse 21, was given to the children of Israel under the leadership of Moses, their prophet. And because they did not believe that they can take this land, Allah, the God of Muhammad, forbid them from entering the land for 40 years. But then they took the Holy Land. when did this happen? I asked my Palestinian friend. He said, well, in Moses' days. There, I remind once again my Palestinian friend that Moses lived 3,500 years ago. And this was obviously a much longer time than the 1948 when the Jewish nation came back to their own land, established their own state once again. So when was the beginning of Israel? It was not 1948, but actually 40 years later, after Moses and the Jewish people left my home country, Egypt, after 400 years of slavery. But before we even leave this passage, I would like just to point to a few of the error of this passage. Remember what Moses said in the Quran in verse 20. He was speaking there to his own Jewish people, and he said, O my people, remember the grace of Allah on you when he made prophets among you. What prophets? How many prophets was there? I mean, I know Muslims believe in Moses to be a prophet, but what other prophets? Before Moses or during the life of Moses, there's no answer. And then he said, and he made you kings. Kings? In Moses' day? Can any Muslim give us a name of one of these kings? Because the obvious truth is, there were no kings in Israel in Moses' day, but there is only one king, which is their own God, Yahweh, Elohim. He was the ruler over them. As a matter of fact, as we look in the scripture, we will see that after Moses, there was Joshua. After Joshua, there was a succession of judges, one judge after another judge, with many years between them. And then, during Prophet Samuel, the Jewish people went to Prophet Samuel, who was a judge over them in his old age, asking him to appoint a king over them. And this was hundreds of years after Moses. And the first king we learn about in the Bible was King Saul. And then King David and King Solomon and so on and so on. But there was no king before Moses or during Moses' days or even after Moses died for hundreds of years later. One of Muhammad's style of writing throughout the Quran is the way Allah gives information without any details. So Muhammad literally throughout the Quran never mentions names. He always said one of them tells the other, or the one on the right told the one in the middle, or the one on the left told the one on the right. Listen to what Allah said in the Quran. Two men among the fearers. If you ask Muslim, who are these two men? They have no answer. But the answer obviously can be found in the Bible. As we read in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, not only do we know the name of these two men, but the name of the 12 men whom Moses sent to spy on the land of Canaan. And these two men's names are Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh. As we share the details of the story of the Bible, when we compare to the nonsense of the verses of the Quran, the ambiguous message, the ambiguous revelation of Muhammad in the Quran, there we see not only the accuracy of the Bible, but also we see the truth of the message of the Bible. My Palestinian friend was surprised and was in awe to know some facts about all the lies which he grew up to believe, that the Israelites occupied his land and the Israelites are his enemy. For as a matter of fact, as we continue to read in the Quran, we see all the early passages which Muhammad put in the Quran concerning the Jews, concerning the Holy Land, is a great evidence that they are not occupying their own land, the land of Israel, but they have the God-given right to this land, with all the right to own, to live, to do whatever they wish in their land. And this fact is not only written in the passage in the Bible, but as it is written in the passage of the Quran. That is what Allah said in the Quran concerning the Jewish nation. They are his chosen people. They are the promised one to receive the promised land, the holy land. As we read in Quran chapter 5 verses 20 to verse 26, we know for sure that the land of Israel belongs to the children of Israel. And this took place 3,500 years ago. But when we look at the Bible and the true account of the history which must be taught in our textbook instead of the lies which Muslims implanted throughout the pages of the history and social study and geography books for our children, we know, as we will see in the next broadcast, that this land was promised to Abraham before even the existence of Moses and the children of Israel. And this was 400 years even earlier than Moses' days. That makes the true owner of this land to be Abraham, as God Almighty, the owner of planet Earth, gave this land to him and to his descendant before even his descendant came to exist. Not only 3,500 years ago in Moses' days, but even earlier than that, which put it roughly around 4,000 years ago. Someone may say, maybe when Allah said in the Quran that he will give this land to Abraham and his children, Allah meant all the children of Abraham. Therefore, the Jews, the children of Israel, can have part of the land, and the Arab, the children of Abraham, through his wife Keturah, or as Muslim claims, through his concubine Hagar, they also, the Muslim, have the right to receive part of this land. The answer is very simple. If you read the Quran, chapter 5, verse 20 to verse 26, Allah is very clear. Allah asked Moses and his people, the children of Israel, to take the promised land. He did not say the children of Abraham, but the children of Israel. And Israel is Jacob. And the children of Jacob are those who were in Egypt for 400 years. And after they left the land of Egypt, they took the promised land. Even though in the beginning, according to the teaching of the Quran, as well as we will see in the next broadcast, according to the teaching of the Bible, they did not believe that they can take the promised land. That's why God, for 40 years, caused them to wander in the wilderness out of the promised land. And after the older generation, those who were 20 years and older, after all of them died, then God accomplished his promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob through the descendant of the children of Israel, those who were 20 years and younger in Moses' days. Add to that, obviously, Joshua and Caleb, for they are the only two of the older generation who believed that they could take the promised land. That's when Moses sent them with the rest of the spies to check out the promised land. And that is what we will be covering in the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now, perhaps saying something like this: Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.
Hey, Roxanne, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, did you hear the program?
Yes, I did.
All right. I want to tell people, Usama Dakdok does a program Monday through Friday on VCY America, and that program is at 12:30 Central Time on VCY America, and I hope that you all will start listening. This is a program we recorded, I don't know, 15 years ago. Maybe not. I think it was in like 2000 and maybe 2011, 2012. I could be off on the timing there, but this led to the presentation that he put together. And like I said, in 2014, we were supposed to go and record it. Could have been 2013. Man, I'm getting old. These years just fly by. But I think it's very clear when you listen to what we heard in that conference about getting in there and impacting what was in the textbooks. And then Usama talks about, yes, this stuff is in the textbooks. What do you think about that, Roxanne?
Yes, no, we're seeing the fruits of it now, you know, especially that Sharifa was talking in 1989. And here Usama is showing in the textbooks the lies that are in there. And we'll see more of this as we go on. But, you know, like you said, that was in 2011. And here we are now in 2024, and we're seeing the fruits of these lies that are in the textbooks and what our children have been taught as they're out on the campuses shouting from the river to the sea.
Go ahead and finish.
No, I wanted to point out, because I know it's hard to hear, USAMA's program is on VCY. That's V as in Victor. VCY. Because I know sometimes it sounds like V as in boy, but no, it's V as in Victor.
Yeah. VCY America is, I believe it's Victory in Christ America Youth. That's where the Y comes in, VCY. And it's VCY America, so I have it reversed, but it's Victory Christ Youth. And that whole radio program has been going on for many years. We've actually been on Blog Talk Radio longer, but ultimately the generosity of Usama Dakdok is we can share his material. He wants people to know the truth. And that's why we're sharing this program today, is because it just is so amazing how long ago we spoke about this, how we also discovered that in 1989, the Muslims began a campaign to infiltrate the schools to review and recommend changes in the textbook. And here we are now with these students on campus and people who know Jewish students have done nothing to provoke this hatred and this violence. But my friends, in many countries in Europe, they've already been seeing this. And we know that you've got people marching with signs. Not only are they saying from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free, which means get rid of Israel. But they also march around with signs, death to Israel, death to America. You know, if Muslims hate Jewish people, which they do, and we'll get into that more as we go on. But if they hate Jewish people, trust me, they hate Christians even more. If they hate Israel, trust me, they hate America even more. We really need to wake up here in America. And I've been saying that for so long. And I used to say, God save America. And people went, well, Christy, why are you saying that? I just say, end times in America. Gee, Christy, why are you saying that? You're trying to scare people? No, I'm trying to tell the truth. Just trying to tell the truth.
Trying to wake them up.
Yeah.
I want to encourage anyone who wants to learn more about the Quran and the Islamic faith, please go to thestraightway.org and order a copy of the Generous Quran. USAMA did an accurate English translation of it. USAMA was born in Egypt and Arabic is his first language. And he studied the Quran. He knows how to read the source text and he has accurately translated it without sugarcoating. And it is so important for us to understand what they believe, because it doesn't matter if we believe what they believe. What matters is that they believe it, and we need to know it and understand it to be able to reach them.
Yes, and you know, you can see their enthusiasm for infiltrating the school system. Let me tell you, they're just as enthusiastic for converting your children to Islam. They're just as enthusiastic for making America a Muslim country. And you see, if you don't reach Muslims Christ, they may be reaching your child or your grandchild for Islam. And that's one of the curses that I believe is falling on our country even now. We can see what's going on in Europe. I'm telling you, America is the only hope that we have to stop this takeover of this evil ideology. So I want us to say goodbye for tonight. We'll be back on next Thursday. We're going to have the next segment on USAMA's teaching on lies in the textbooks. We'll have some comments. We'll talk about the news. We will share our thoughts on these issues, because Roxanne and I are both moms. We have some thoughts about what is happening in the school system. For me, it's what's gone on in the school system regarding my grandchildren and great-grandkids, and looking at that future and what it holds. Honestly, our school systems are so messed up, and Lord help us. When the atheists pulled prayer out of school, trust me, the devil didn't pull out his demons. He just infiltrated with every kind of evil possible, from school shootings, Islam, all of these things. And you know what's sad? Some people, Roxanne, may think that if we bring Islam into the school, it'll bring peace and it'll stop school shootings. I'm waiting for that to come next, that they'll promote Islam as a loving, peaceful religion, and we're gonna have activities related to Islam on our school, because that will probably bring an end to school violence and shootings, and we'll all live together and it'll all be wonderful. I'm telling you, this is
that's the lie they want you to believe.
Yes,
but
absolutely,
it is important for parents to get involved. should I reiterate what she was saying? You know, of course, for any parent, it is important to get involved and know what your child is learning. But, you know, we need to make sure they are not learning lies, that we're not perpetuating these lies. It has to end. And Christians, this is, we're the only hope is Christ. He is the only hope.
You know, Roxanne, I want to tell you, I really appreciate you being on here with me, because I know you're willing to speak out about it. We have to look at the busy lives of Americans, but a lot of Muslim women do not work. That's probably another reason why they were able to get into the school. You know, we've got, if you're a grandparent and you're not taking care of someone right now who needs your attention and your support at home, consider doing some volunteer work. We need to be as diligent in seeking opportunities to share the truth and evaluating what we see go on. We need to be just as diligent as the Muslims began to be in 1989. They've done a lot, but we have the Lord Jesus Christ on our side. We have the truth of the Bible on our side, and we need to promote the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray for Israel. Her enemies are everywhere, but her enemies are our enemies, and we can't ever forget that. The devil himself wants to destroy Israel and kill the Jews, and he wants to kill Christians and destroy America as well. Roxanne, thanks for being with me. I think it's time to say goodnight. You have any last words?
No, I just want, you know, to let everyone know I'm praying for them, and I hope you pray for this ministry, especially for Usama Dakdok as he travels the country speaking out on this, because, you know, his life is at risk speaking out against this. And so is anyone who speaks out against Islam. So just pray, especially for the truth tellers.
Amen. Amen. And I shall see you next week. God bless everybody who's listening, those who are listening to us live, and those who may be listening to us later during the week. Let us know if you have managed to hear the program and have any thoughts. You can reach me at christy.thestraightway@gmail.com. So that's Christy, K-R-I-S-T-I-E, thestraightway@gmail.com. Had to change my email address. I would love to hear from you, and Roxanne and I will be back with you next week. In the meantime, God bless you all, and we will look forward to seeing you again. Tune in. I'll be featured with Usama Dakdok tomorrow, which is Friday, at 12:30 p.m. Central Time on Revealing the Truth About Islam on the VCY Network. God bless you all. Good night. Good night.
Thank you, Christy. Good night.